Health Services led selections they made. Thankful for everything we've got. I've been up most of the night, quite a bit of the night before, and just talking to God, and what does He want me to bring this morning? I don't know if He was talking so softly that I wasn't listening closely enough. But we find in the Word that He talks that He whispers to us. And the only way that you can hear a whisper is to be really quiet. Just calm all the noise around your life down. Because our lives are noisy. But then you get to our prayer closet and get quiet. Then we'll hear God. When we put distractions in front of us, you might not hear the whisper. When you are lazy and you're doing other things, and as I am many times, you're not listening for the whisper. And then, though I don't probably hear it as much as I like it. I love when I can hear the whisper of God. Amen. I love when I can be in a spot where we can just have a little talk. I've struggled most of my life praying with any kind of volume because I always felt like I don't do it right. When I pray to God, it's such a mixture of talking to the supreme being of the world, our Creator, and also talking to my best friend, to where I can just chat with Him. You know, I've got people in my life that, through texts, usually I hate talking on the phone, through texts at least, we send messages and jokes and silly pictures and all this stuff. I wish I spoke to my Lord as much as I talk to them. Because He's a better friend to me than they are. Amen. You know, we've talked about earlier in Sunday school about how our families in the church, that we shouldn't nitpick each other and judge each other for little things that really have no meaning to us. And we do that a lot, don't we? Whether we want to admit it or not. We look and see everything that everybody does, and somehow or another, we always have a thought, at least, well, maybe I'd do that just a little different, or maybe I wouldn't do that at all, or maybe I should do this, or maybe I wouldn't do that, or I can't believe they're doing this. We have those thoughts. Paul tells us we shouldn't. Let them do that. If it's not disrupting the Word of God and to a way that is going to lead somebody astray, our individuality that we have makes us who we are. So I finally settled on a scripture and kind of, I wish I had a little more time to really look at it because it's really tying in more and more with that. In my mind at least, as I twist things many times. But I'm going to go to Revelations, in the 12th chapter of Revelations. Now back earlier, probably 30 years ago, in my earlier years of preaching, Brother Don Watts took my Bible and took Revelations out of it and said I wasn't allowed to ask any questions about it anymore. Because we sat in that little basement, the basement there at the church, and we went over different parts of Revelations, I had questions. And if you study Revelations any at all, you're going to realize you can't answer them. There's just not quite answers for them yet. And maybe one day I can give you an opinion of what I think it might mean. Or I can give you an opinion of what this is or what that is. In the long run of my opinions of Revelations, it really doesn't matter. I'm going to be with God one day after a while. How this world ends, I really don't care. It's going to. The Word of God says so. How it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, I don't care. I'm going to be with the Lord when it's all over. Amen. That's what I'm excited about more than how it's going to happen. And I'm a how-to guy. I love to know how things are going to happen. When it comes to this, I'm going to be with God. And if you've been saved by His grace, you will too. And if you haven't, you won't. This is not like most of the world today that if there is no black and white in the world today. Somebody can twist this or twist that, and what used to be right just seems to be totally wrong now. That's the twisting they put into it. There is no black and white. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the end of time, of either of your life or the time of the world, there's going to be a heaven and there's going to be a hell. That's it. And you can try to twist and say, well, maybe this or maybe that. I'm sorry. That's not what my Bible teaches. This goes back even further. In chapter 12, starting in verse 7, this was the great war in heaven. If you know, the devil, Lucifer, used to be an angel. In fact, he was, if you want to read in over in Ezekiel and Isaiah, he was the most beautiful angel. He was the closest, the best angel that there was. He was the angel of music, and God looked at him with great favor. And I believe that he had knowledge and power over many of the other angels, because God had made him in such a state. But when you're in that situation, where even if we think of it today, that you are the best there is, or rather that next to your boss, you think that you're really good, and I can do that just to the whatever job that it might be, in such a way that's, I can probably do that better than my boss. I did that before. I had a job when I was approaching families and talking to families about organ donation. They had scripts, a very robotic type of situation. I'm like, I went to my boss. I'm like, these are people that are hurting. Let's just talk to them. And I was like, well, let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. I can do it better than you're doing it. And they never really listened. And I wanted to try to take over and say, listen, I can make this better. I believe that's what Satan does too. In the seventh verse, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice in ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When Satan or Lucifer or the adversary, however you want to say his name, I think they're all the same. When they was cast out of heaven, when Michael and his angels got together and with God's power, with God's help, they defeated Satan and cast him out. Now, I thought forever that he got cast into hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. He was cast into the earth. He was kicked out not for, you know, doing anything necessary. He was trying to kill anybody, or he wasn't doing this or that. He thought he could take over God. He thought that, you know, God had put him in a place that he knew so much that he could figure out how to do it better than God, and even go higher than even what God could do. people on this earth think the same thing today. Ask them about God and how they do things. They all have a better way to do it than what the Bible teaches. They all think they can do it better than what God taught. They all want to make it either easier or harder, or have to go through a path, or they want to change it. God made it perfect the way He made it.
Amen.
It doesn't need changed. I was talking, heard about somebody I love this week that was talking about that they were, you know, doing this and that. They wanted to work and do good deeds, and all those are great things. But they're not going to get you to heaven. But God made the plan His way, and if you're going to try to go above God or do something other than what God wants, He's going to cast you out. And He made it very clear about what He did to the devil. Looking over into, let's go to Matthew 25 and 41, I believe it is. But when He cast the devil out and cast him into the earth, He made a place for him and his angels that went with him. So he, like I said, he was very cunning. He was very smart. Knew how to out-talk the other devil, I guess you could say. We talk about a quick-talking person that can speak and get you to believe things that may not be the truth. Well, I believe that's the way he was. And when he was cast down, he cast down a third of the angels with him. He got deceived, a third of all the angels, and that's going to be his little army that's down here with him now in this earth, roaming around, and as the Bible called him, as a lion roaring, a lion looking for devour, who they can devour. In the 25th chapter, in the 41st verse, it talks about, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. As I tried to pull this together, as I wanted to, where I wanted to go, and what I wanted to say, and how what God wanted me to bring forth this morning, that last bit really stuck with me more and more. That it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But at the same time, God has made that for those that are not saved. And as I looked at that, I thought about it, I'm like, he made this a horrible, terrible place for this rogue angel that thought he could overdo God. And as you look at something like that, just think about why it was made. But yet at the same time, I don't like thinking about going there, but we need to, as saved individuals, know about hell and know how bad it is, because that's where everybody's going if we don't get them turned to God. But I think in my lost state, when I was just a 10, 11-year-old boy, when I became lost and I had trouble set up in my heart, that I knew that I was contrary to God. I was doomed to go to a place that was made for a devil and his angels. And I'm like, man, that's weird, isn't it? That just doesn't seem right that I'm going to go there. When Adam sinned, even going back, that devil just keeps coming up over throughout all the Bible. We broke our sin against God, and we were falling away from God, and He had to find a way to fix us. And that was Jesus that's going to come in and be the sacrifice, the blood that is going to be shed to clear my sins. But for those that don't look to Him, for those that are not ever saved, what are they really saying to God? And I kept just going over that in my head. And I can't say that I've got it fully figured out what I want to, how I want to finalize in my mind, but I look at it and I'm like, these people, whether they know anything at all, are going to have a chance to repent at some point in their life. But if they don't, they're no better than Satan. For the one that deceived him and brought them away from God, if you're not going to be saved and you're just going to turn away from him, you obviously think you have a better plan than what God had. Because of the plan that God made, I always heard it said when I was growing up that other religions have easy salvation, easy this and easy that. Now, with that being said, it took me 3 years to finally get myself out of the way, but sometimes you just have to go in and talk to somebody at these other churches and they will say you were saved. Or I saw some that even at like funerals and things, they would say, who wants to be saved? Raise your hand. And then suddenly you were saved. That was what they were basically telling me were easy ways of salvation. The way that God set up is about as easy as it could ever be. Because I don't need anybody else. I don't need another man to tell me to raise my hand or when to pray or whatever's going to happen. Whatever prayer they're going to say over me, I don't need that. I've got me and God. That's all I ever needed. Amen. I don't have to do any work. I don't have to make sure I do more good deeds in my life than I do bad deeds. I don't have to do that. I should want to do that if I'm actually truly saved, but that's not what gets me into heaven. I don't have any money to pay. The cost has already been paid. Now, although I made it difficult in wanting to figure out salvation, when I finally, like I've said many times, when I finally figured out that I couldn't figure it out, that's when God saved me. But I don't need anybody else but me and God. Him and we talked, and not even in an audible voice. I remember sitting there crying and bubbling and trying to find him. And when basically all that had stopped, and it was just me sitting on this little altar, giving up. That's when God saved me. I've got nothing to offer God. Except for my life now. And that's still nothing compared to what he's done for me. Because the hell that he came and I've been saved, and so many times I hear everybody like, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. And that's the reason you need to be saved. There's so much more. Amen. Getting out of hell is a great thing. Getting into heaven is a lot better than that. Being able to have my Savior stand by me all the way that I walk, everything that I do. Yes, getting out of hell is great. Having my Savior next to me is even better. Second Peter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. If God will send his own angels to hell for disobeying him, he can do what he wants. People say a lot that, God would never send somebody to hell. I don't believe God ever has sent anybody to hell. It is your unbelief that sends you to hell, not God. God has made every preparation. God has made every sacrifice that needs to be made. God has fulfilled all the Bible so that when Jesus came and gave his life, that we could be saved. So anybody that goes to hell now can't blame God. He has given you everything that you need to make sure you don't go to hell. So when they say that, you know, I can't believe that God would send anybody to hell. You're right, he wouldn't. He doesn't want to. He loves his creation. He wants us all to be there with him. But he also loved his son that came and died for us. And that's why all we have to do is ask. If that's not the easy salvation, I don't know what is. To go to him and ask. I made it so hard when I asked. I know everybody does it. I know some people go to the first time. I think even my wife will say that she got out of her seat and was saved before she got to the altar. I was a little more stubborn. I wanted to have a way to know that I was saved other than, you know, when you're saved. So in my mind, I just kept thinking, how am I going to know? What am I going to look for? And I would pray, and I'm like, am I saved? I don't know if I'm saved. I should know that if I'm saved, if I am. So I just kept praying. That was one of my biggest stumbling blocks. I was just worried about, how will I know when I'm saved? I was so worried about how I know I was saved, I think I was missing getting saved. Some people say, you know, this or that was why they didn't get saved right away. And some people were very close to their parents and said, you know, my mama, I was so worried about leaving my mom that I couldn't just give her up. You have to give up everything. God will save you. So as I look through, trying to figure out, and I'm kind of giving it to you the kind of scattered way that I got it. I've thought about so many things. I have hell on my mind. And people need to know about hell. People need to know that it's real. And so many times you see it at funerals and things like that. Everybody's like, well, we'll see him in heaven one day after a while. I hope so. I pray so. But they didn't seem to ever go into church. They never seemed to do anything for God. There was no fruits of their labors that would show that they were saved. We tell that to many people. Tell that to families to comfort them. Oh, well, we'll see them in heaven one day after a while. If they have not been saved, they're not going to be seen in heaven anymore. And I think we lie to people so many times, worried about their feelings and how that it gets across. Where maybe we need to be a little more bold and a little more caring and with them. Because if you ask the rich man that was in hell, he told to go tell his brothers about him. Let me go tell him that you don't want to be here. Too many times we're worried about people's feelings and how people look than how God feels and what he thinks. That's always going to be, that it has to be our first thing that we're worried about is what God thinks and how, and about us, about the work we're doing for him. As I prayed overnight and even this morning, I just want God to be pleased with my work that I'm doing. I want to do better. I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. How can God be satisfied? And I've said that, you know, many times before, and I may get better in one area or another, and there's always room for improvement. And some people will be like, we can never be perfect. We're not Jesus. That can't be a crutch. Like, well, I can't be perfect, so, you know, it just happens. Get over it. That's not the way it is. We should always be striving to be perfect. But this body's just full of sin. But that don't mean we can't keep pushing. Keep trying to further God's cause. Keep handing out the books of Luke to anybody you can. Keep telling them, Jesus is here and he's been good to me. Let me tell you about it. Let's go through and live lives that God can see, that people can see God through us. I've said before, I preached one time, that we're just basically a moon. If you know, the moon doesn't produce any light. It's just a rock. All the light that comes from the moon is just a reflection of the sun. So if we're going to be a moon, let's take the sun, not the big red ball, no, not the big yellow ball in the sky. I mean the sun. Reflect off of us and let people see it. Let's not be a new moon that you can't see, that there's no light come off. Let's be that old full moon. That as Jesus can hit me, every bit of me can show him back to everybody else. Because there is a devil's hell. There was a devil that was cast out of heaven and sent to hell. And that's who the hell was made for. But we as humans were given the option to trust God or not to. He gave us free will. If we're not going to trust in God that he can save us, we will go to hell too. But he gave his son for us to be saved. And then we should go forth from there and do everything we can for him. And I say that we should do everything we can. Read some of the songs that we sing. It talks about how I want to just live my life for Jesus all the time. And I'm going to put away my old life. We sing it, we say it. Do we do it? That's where I get caught up sometimes. Because I want to be better. The study I'm just getting into, this is the last couple of days, of the Bride of Christ. It's pretty interesting. Because I don't think we're all going to be in the bride. We're all not going to go into that city, be there in the first seat, and the best seats of the marriage. And I got to study that a lot more, but I'm just getting going on it. But I want to be a soldier for God that he can be proud of. That God can look on me and say, he's mine, and he's doing the best he can for me. I know he didn't do that right now. He said he's mine. He tries every now and then. I want to do it all the time. That's my message this morning. It was scattered. I struggled a lot of the way. I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. And I don't even mean in this world. I just mean in my soul. I need to thank him more and more. And as I look day by day, I get one day closer to seeing him. That's my new tracking of time. And I'm will soon be 49 years old, and I might have a few years left. But every day that it ticks off, I'm one day closer to Jesus. I've never really put a lot of thought into it like that, but I'm like, man, I think about going on a vacation. I think sometime in February or somewhere, we're looking at a cruise or something. And I'm like, man, we're... Trina's already looking for the countdown date to be put on the computer or whatever, and we count down those days of these big times. I'm counting down the days till I see Jesus. That's my message this morning. Anything from anybody?